This message was recorded live at the Ark Church in Conroe, Texas.
We haven't built anything in about 15 years. It's time we get some stuff done. So we're looking forward to the next few weeks. We believe it's going to be an exciting time here at the church. And we'll be laying out some of the reasons and the purposes behind this new building and what it's going to do. Is it's going to add on effect. It'll help our children. It'll help our youth. It'll help our classes. Everybody gets an opportunity to benefit from this. We had a call on Tuesday, 9/11. It was an emergency call. It was not a medical emergency. It was an emergency from B.B. Rice Elementary School. And what happened with B.B. Rice is their electricity went out. And so they had all these little children sitting there in hot rooms with, you couldn't open the windows. And so they called us and they asked us, can we bring our children over here? Now, we didn't have to think about that. We didn't have to pray about it and get back to them. We realized that one of our purposes that this church is in this area is we are here to bless our community. So we told B.B. Rice, bring them over. And we watched as a line, man, they started with the little ones and they just went to the big ones, a line, and they were coming over with their little backpacks, and over 600 kids came rolling in to a place. They walked into a place that was safe, a place that was air conditioned, a place where they had plenty of room. We even had room for the special needs kids in our area. And a place where they actually were able to spread out, and we showed them some movies. We showed them, you know, Gladiator and Braveheart. They really loved that. I'm kidding. We did not show them Gladiator and Braveheart, but we showed them age-appropriate movies, and they had a wonderful time. But you know, it's always been in our heart to bless our community. But here's another reason we were able to do that is because we had the facility that enabled us to do that. You see, it's one thing to have a heart. It's another thing to be able to get it done. And so over the next few weeks, as we're talking about Purpose Built, we'll be talking about why this ties into our purpose as a church and why we're going to be doing this to enable us to reach more and to do more for the Lord. Purposes are powerful. And when you have strong purposes, and purpose is simply this, it's a reason why something is done or created. It's a reason something exists. That's what purposes are all about. And they are powerful. In fact, when you have a big purpose, it enables you to push past some of the challenges that happen in life. We all face challenges, but when the purpose is big, you can move past them. When Matthew, my first child, was born about 35 years ago, Joy and I were in Bible school. Joy had lost her job. I wasn't making much money. Matthew was born in September, and we were coming up on the break, the Christmas break, and my parents said, why don't you come home to North Carolina? I said, it'd be wonderful. Joy's parents came up. Matt was the first grandchild on either side. You know what those guys are. Those something about first grandchild, the parents are just pulling, so they're pulling, the wallet comes out, and you know, and money hits the table. So I thought, man, we're going home. Because home meant food, and home meant money. We're going to get out of this. We were struggling. And so we got ready to go. School was out. We woke up early in the morning, and I looked out the window, and we were in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Buddy, it had snowed the night before. I'm not talking about just like we get dustings down here. I'm talking about accumulation of snow. And we looked out, and it was snow, and it was snowing hard. And Joy said, what are we going to do? I said, wrap him up. So we wrap that child up. You know, first children, it's a wonder they don't sweat to death, because we dress them like they're freezing all the time. But man, we had him so wrapped, we could hardly bend him to get him in his car seat. And we took off down the road, and we're going. In fact, they were closing freeways behind us. Sometimes we would look out, we'd be the only one on I-40 heading for North Carolina. But we had a purpose, and so that enabled us to move past this little snow stuff that was not going to stop us. If you have a purpose, you can move past the challenges. If you have a purpose, it's the right kind of motivation. You ever looked in the mirror and go, I need to lose some weight. I'm going to get around to it one of these days. I'm going to start that next week. But then if you ever looked in the mirror and go, oh, I have a class reunion coming up in a few months. I'm going to lose some weight. There's a motivation there behind that, because you're not stepping into your class reunion without looking good. And so there's motivation there. In fact, there was a couple a few years ago down in Montego Bay, Jamaica, beautiful couple. You know, they look like that couple that they show on all those commercials when they show older people now, but they find these really good-looking older people. And you're thinking, they're thinking, there's no way you're real. But anyway, they bring these older people out, and they just look so sweet, and they were so loving to one another. They sent a local newspaper guy just to talk to them to find out the secret of their marital bliss. And they said, well, the man said, well, his wife just sat there and smiled. He said, well, it started about 50 years ago on our honeymoon. He said, we went to the Grand Canyon in Arizona. We were taking a horse trip down to, you know, on horseback all the way down to the bottom of the canyon. My wife was in front of me, and she said her horse stumbled, and she almost fell out of the saddle. And she just very calmly reached down and patted the horse and said, that's one. And she said, went a little bit further. The horse stumbled again. This time my wife dropped her water. But very calmly, she just looked at the horse and said, that's two. She said, we hadn't gone half a mile when that horse stumbled one more time, and my wife almost fell off, but she just quietly slipped off the horse, reached in her pocketbook, pulled out a revolver, and shot the horse dead right on the spot. I yelled at her, woman, what are you doing? Are you crazy? You didn't have to shoot the poor animal. She looked up at me and said, that's one. He said, we've lived happily ever after, ever since. When you have the right purpose, you have the right motivation. And so that works. And then what we find, if you have the right purpose, I'll tell you what it does. It just enhances all of life. It adds something to life. It adds something. And life is not mundane. If you've got a purpose that's big enough, life isn't mundane. Life had some excitement to it. I think this is the reason a lot of times when people retire, you see them begin to decline unless they can find something else to tap into, because working gave them purpose. But you know, we were designed to live with purpose. God designed us. He never designed us to just kind of meander through life. He designed us with a purpose. Look at this verse. This is a favorite verse of mine. It's in Ephesians. It says, for we are His workmanship. Talking about God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Now, he's saying we're His workmanship. One translation says we're God's masterpiece. But God didn't simply make us His masterpiece to sit us on the shelf and go, isn't that wonderful? Look at it. He said, no, He designed us for good works. He designed us to do something. You did not surprise God when you gave your life to Christ. He didn't look at any of the angels and go, oh, what? Look at that. Look, I would have never thought they got saved. What are we going to do with them now? He never says that. He already had a plan. And when you made Jesus your Lord, you became a new creation in Christ, and old things have passed away and all things have become new. And it's not just so you can meander through life. It's God has a purpose, and part of His purpose is kingdom purposes. Part of His purpose is that you could live for Him. Part of His purpose is that you could begin to absolutely begin to show how good God is to the people around you. That's a great purpose. You know, Joy and I talk, you've heard me talk a little bit about our marriage, and you think I'm exaggerating, but no, we had a horrible marriage to begin with. She brought baggage. I brought baggage. We looked like a bus station, as much baggage as we brought. And we argued a lot. We fought a lot. But the one thing we felt like kept us going through life, and I've heard people say, well, you know, how's your marriage now? I tell you, our marriage right now is good. It's very good. Now, I'm telling you this, but if you ask Joy, she would tell you this. Because usually you ask a guy, how's your marriage? He's like, great. You ask the wife, she's like. But Joy and I both would say, rarely argue, rarely fight. Our marriage is wonderful now. It didn't start that way, it got that way. We'll say, well, you know what happened? You matured. As you got older, you matured and you mellowed. Listen, I know older people that do not mellow. I know older people get mean. Getting older doesn't mean you get nicer. But as you begin to mature in Christ, you begin to realize, I wasn't built for anything bad. I was built for good works. As you begin to mature, it makes a difference. And with all the stuff that we went through in life, and we had children problems, financial problems, we had sickness that almost took her life. All of those things, one of the things that kept us going is from the very beginning, Joy and I said, we're going to be about God's kingdom. We're going to be about God. We're going to be involved. We're going to be about God's kingdom. And that bigger purpose helped us move past some of the challenges. It gave us some motivation. It absolutely enhanced our life. You say, well, of course, Alan, you're a preacher. It's easy. That's your job. Listen, we did this before we ever were preachers. We did this when we were just simply church members. And we said, we're going to be about God's purposes. Because when you align yourself with God's purposes, great things begin to happen. Let me give you a story of a lady in the Bible who aligned herself with God's purposes. Her name was Hannah. Hannah was the wife of a man named Elkanah. This was back in the Old Testament. This was before David, before Saul. And at that time, Elkanah had two wives. He had a wife named Penina and a wife named Hannah. People ask me, say, Al, why do you think God had the multiple wives back then? I said, well, I think it was so to create children. I said, but I don't advise it today. I really don't. It's not a good idea. Hannah couldn't have kids. Penina had kids. And this really got to Hannah, and it's difficult. And I realize, especially for ladies who want to have children, it's such a painful thing. And Hannah was just grieved by it. And she was grieved by it, and to the point where every year they would go to Shiloh, which was like where the only temple was at that time. Temple wasn't Jerusalem. There was a temple in Shiloh. And they would go to the Shiloh, Elkanah and Penina and Hannah and the children, and they would worship there. They would bring their tithes and offerings there. It was a yearly sacrifice. And every year, Penina would just torment Hannah. I mean, the Bible said she tormented her, made her miserable. You know, you could just see her sitting at the table going, hey, Hannah, we save room for you and your children. Oh, you don't have any kids. My bad. Sorry. Made her feel horrible to the point where the scripture says that Hannah just, she wept and she wouldn't even eat. But her husband, now she didn't have to be so completely unhappy because she had a husband that loved her. Elkanah was a good man. In fact, he would give her a double portion when they're passing out the food. He would give her a double portion because he loved her. In fact, he looked at her one day and said, hey, baby, what is the matter? Why won't you eat? Why are you crying all the time? He said, am I not better to you than 10 sons? It's kind of a man thing. We're not like, hey, you got me. But at least he had somebody that loved her. But this one day, it finally just, it reached its zenith, and she had to go to the temple to pray. Here's what happened. She was in bitterness of soul and prayed to the Lord and wept in anguish. Then she made a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me, and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a male child, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall come upon his head. And it happened as she continued praying before the Lord that Eli, that was the priest, watched her mouth. Now Hannah spoke in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore, Eli thought she was drunk. So Eli said to her, how long will you be drunk? Put your wine away from you. And Hannah answered, said, no, my Lord, I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. I've drunk neither wine nor intoxicating drink, but I've poured out my soul before the Lord. Do not consider your maidservant a wicked woman, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief, I've spoken until now. And Eli answered and said, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant your petition, which you've asked of him. And she said, let your maidservant find favor in your sight. So the woman went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. I love this story because here we see Hannah, who finally, she reached that point in her life. She said, I got to get God involved in this. So she went, and even though she was in agony, even though this was the biggest thing in her life, she was able to move past that, and she vowed a vow. She said, Lord, she said, if you'll give me a son, then I will give him to you for all of his life. Lord, if you'll give me, this is what she wanted most. She said, if you'll just give me a son, I'll give him to you. Really, if you look at it, this is a classic example of a faith commitment. She didn't have a son, but she said, Lord, if you'll give me a son, I'll give him to you. Now you say, well, anyone can say that, but she said something that was very unique. She said, and no razor will come on his head. In the sixth chapter of the book of Numbers, there's verses that talk about what they call a Nazarite. And a Nazarite was someone who had dedicated or set himself apart to God. And they would not cut their hair while they did that. Samson is the most famous one, who had the long hair. But it was a sign of their dedication. And when Hannah said, no razor will come on his head, she's basically saying is, there's no way I can escape that. When people say, Hannah, why don't you cut that boy's hair? She's basically saying, there won't be a razor on his head. It'll be known. He belongs to the Lord. And when Eli the priest looked at her and said, God grant you your petition, I think it's very unique, interesting that Hannah got happy right there. All she had was a promise. She hadn't even taken the home pregnancy test yet. She just had a promise that God said, and she said, God grant you your request. And Hannah believed that. She believed God was involved. And she smiled. She went back and sat down and ate. And they're probably going, why is Hannah eating? Because Hannah had a promise that God was going to get involved in her situation. And if God's going to get involved in this situation, it's going to change. You say, well, what happened to Hannah? She got pregnant. And she had a little boy, named him Samuel. Samuel means heard by God. Now, every year, Elkanah would go. Once a year, he would go with his wives and his kids, and they would go to the temple. But Hannah said, I'm going to go for a little bit. She said, I'm going to stay here until I finish weaning this child. When he's on solid food, she said, I'm going to go. But when she was on solid food is when she was going to take this little boy and drop him off at the priest. And she was going to give him to Eli and say, he's here to serve the Lord. Can you imagine that as a parent? You've wanted a child all your life, and now you finally got one. And you're waiting till this child is weaned. He had to be, what, 3, 4 years old? When she takes him, can you imagine him trooping over in his little backpack, holding his little suitcase? And Hannah goes, bye, son. You belong to the Lord. And you grow up with a strong sense of purpose. And a strong sense, and actually Samuel was, he was used mightily of God. And so with Hannah, she waved goodbye to the one thing she wanted most. She gave him to the Lord. And the Bible said that he began to serve the Lord even as a young child. You say, well, wow, what happened to Hannah? Well, I'll tell you something that happens to Hannah. God blessed her. And Hannah found out that with God, he honored that. And with God, you can't outgive him. Look what the verse says next. Samuel ministered before the Lord even as a child wearing a linen ephod. Moreover, his mother used to make him a little robe and bring it to him year by year when she came up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. And Eli would bless Elkanah and his wife and say, the Lord give you descendants from this woman for the loan or the gift that was given to the Lord. Then they would go to their own home, and the Lord visited Hannah, and she conceived and bore 3 sons and 2 daughters. Meanwhile, the child Samuel grew before the Lord. She gave a gift. She gave this something. It was special. It was the biggest thing in her life. She gave it to God, and God honored her. He blessed her, gave her 5 more kids. Now, some of you don't think that's a blessing, but if you want to have kids, that's a huge blessing. That was something huge. She gave something to the Lord, and the Lord honored her back. And Samuel grew up to be a mighty prophet. He was involved in Saul's life and David's life. He was instrumentally used of God. Hannah aligned herself with God's purposes, and God did some amazing things. So what about us? How do we align ourselves with God's purpose? Well, here's one of the first things we can learn from Hannah is, look, don't wait to be happy in life. Don't wait to be happy. In life, there is always going to be something that's not right. There's always some area that's not right. So the best thing to do is you got to ask yourself, God, have you done anything good for me? If God has done anything good for you, you've got something to rejoice about. Say, well, God hadn't done anything for me, Alan. Well, the fact that you're sitting there breathing air means God has done something good for you, that you are alive and well, and the Lord has sustained us. We've got something to rejoice about all the time. We can rejoice about what we do have as opposed to missing what we don't have. And that's a wonderful way to be happy. And here's another thing. You can get happy with the promise. You can find God's promises, and before they ever come to pass in your life, you can be happy. You can find out that God said he would help you, he would strengthen you, he would heal you, he would quicken you, he would bless you. And you could go, ooh, there's a promise. And before you ever take the test, you can go, I got a promise from God. You know, when Joy and I talked about Joy and I met, and she was, I was just convinced that she was going to be my wife. And I gave my heart to the Lord, and I'm running on the golf course. After Joy told me that she wasn't going to marry me, that I needed to be the spiritual head of my house. It really caused conviction. I mean, I'm weeping, and finally I just gave my heart to the Lord. I said, Lord, here I am. I'm yours. And I went running on the golf course, and I had one of the most unique conversations with God. Never had anyone since then. I said, Lord, I said, here I am. I'm yours. And the Lord spoke to me, said, what about that party? I said, I'm gonna give that up. He said, what about that smoking? I was a dope smoker. Weed, marijuana, whatever you want to call it. Don't look at me so shocked like you ought to. That was 30-some years ago, guys. But I said, Lord, I'd give that up. And I did. Just gave it straight up. Then I asked the Lord, I said, what about joy? I figured we're negotiating. I might as well jump in here. I said, what about joy? He said, she's yours. I went, great. I went right over to her house, her apartment. She was staying with her sister. Knocked on the door. She answered the door like, I just want to let you know, I gave my heart to the Lord, and he tells me that you're going to be my wife. She said, he didn't tell me that. Didn't bother me at all. I had a promise. And so we said goodbye. She was going back home. She was going to nursing school. She was late, wouldn't be finished for a couple of years. Her sister's crying at the airport. I'm waving goodbye. Because like, you're coming back because I'm marrying you. I got a promise from God. I was happy before it ever showed up. That was October. In January, she came back, moved back. February, I proposed. April, we were married. And that's 36 years ago, and it's still working. Been the one time I've been right and Joy's been wrong. It's been wonderful. Great, you got to hang on to one thing. I had a promise. So you have a promise. But here's another thing. When we align ourselves with God's purposes for our life, breakthroughs happen. Hannah's breakthrough came when she said, God, this is not about me. This is about you. I'm going to give this child to you. Breakthroughs happen when we stop trying just to protect our own lives. We try, just stop trying to, it's just about me and it's my stuff and me and then you. How about, Lord, I want to do something for you. When you became a believer, a Christian, you actually have a built-in purpose. In 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, look at this. It says that he died for all that those who live, he's talking about Jesus, should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. You see, when we talk about living for the Lord, hey, it's bigger than us. It's a bigger purpose than us. And when we begin to tie into God's kingdom, instead of just trying to get for our own lives, I'm telling you, breakthroughs happen. I work for a company called Administaff. I worked for them for a number of years. When I started with them in sales, God moved miraculously, and man, I started off gangbusters. I set records. But the last couple of years I was there, my sales had gotten so bad that they actually called me in and said, Alan, we love you, man, but we got to put you on probation. My sales were so bad. Probation was one step before they let me go. Things weren't working. Man, I'm praying, but I just hit such a dry time. And then right in the middle of that dry time, the Lord said, it's time to start the ark. This is 1996. I'm like, great. So I'm going to start the church. And I'm struggling in my sales. But I thought, Lord, this is what you said do. And if you said do it, and this is your plan, we're going to do it. So we started the church. Had 27 people the first Sunday. Second Sunday, we had 20 people because some of the people we paid to come the first Sunday, we couldn't pay them to come back. But you know, after that third Sunday, it just began to grow. It began to grow, and the church began to grow. I was preaching on Sunday. We had Wednesday night service. We were busy all the time. But not only were we busy, I was busy with the church, but all of a sudden my sales took off. They absolutely exploded. And by the end of the year, not only had I come out from being under probation, but I had qualified for their president's club, and Joy and I won a trip to Cancun simply because you say, well, Alan, did you just become a better salesman overnight? No, I did not. I was the same salesman when I said yes to the Lord that I was when I was denying him. But when I said, yes, Lord, I will do what you want me to do. If you want me to start this church, I'll start it. And it opened the floodgates for God to get involved. And when he gets involved, and nobody can stop it, and the blessings came, and we just rejoiced, and we left. And when we left, we were like, hey, we didn't leave on the bottom. We were able to leave on top, and that was a witness for him. When breakthroughs come, it's when we align ourselves with God's purposes in our lives. And here's the thing. When you do, you're never going to outgive God. We think, oh, if I do this, if I give anything, you know, God. Well, listen, Jesus said this. Look at this verse. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. I think sometimes we've read that to read, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and your life is going to be miserable for the rest of your life. And that's not right. Jesus is simply saying this, shift the priorities. When he taught his disciples to pray, he said, pray this way. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. He said, tie into God's kingdom. But when we begin to tie into God's kingdom and align with God's purposes, wonderful things begin to take place in our lives as well. A lot of people have asked me, I grew up in North Carolina, my parents are still there. So I had people texting me and asking me, Alan, how are your parents? Are they okay? Are they going to be all right? Are they in the floods? And I thank you for your concern. They're very far inland and very hilly, so they're okay. But I know that it's difficult for my parents because I'm not there. My sister's not there. She's in California. There's no family around my parents. And I was talking with my mom one day just recently, and my mom said, oh, honey, I just wish you could be closer. I just wish you could be closer. If you were just 15 minutes away, it'd be such a blessing. And I said, Mom, do you remember you told me that you and Dad could not have children? She said, yes. She said, remember that by a miracle I was born? She said, yes, Alan, I do. She said, and I remember when they put me in your arm, put you in my arms. Yeah, that's right. I wasn't that much of a miracle. They put me in my mother's arms. And she said, when they put you in my arms, she said, I just knew right then. She said, you didn't belong to me. You belong to the Lord. And I gave you up right then. I said, that's right, Mom. I said, you know, Mom, I said, you and I are going to have an opportunity to visit in heaven. We're going to have eternity together. I said, but because I chose God's plan and God's kingdom and put that first, as opposed to living close to my home, because I chose the kingdom plan, I said, Mom, there's going to be a whole lot of people in heaven because I said yes to the Lord's plan for our life. I said, because I said yes to him, I said, there's going to be multitudes of people we see in heaven who are there because I obeyed God's plan. I chose a kingdom path, a kingdom purpose, instead of doing what's best for us. And my mom said, you're right, you're right, you're so right, and that's the way we want it to be. And I think, man, that's a good story, but it's not just my story, it's your story as well. You don't build a church by yourself. You build a church when people come together, and because you give, because you serve, because you invite, because you reach out, we are going to see people in heaven that would not have been there unless you got involved and reached out and said, we're going to do this. And we're going to run across people in heaven. They're going to come up and say, were you part of that church? Were you part of that church in Conroe? And you go, yeah, I was. You go, I want to thank you. I want to thank you so much. You reached my uncle. My uncle reached my whole family. My whole family's here because you were part of that. Or they're going to say, you sent someone to my country and they shared the gospel. And my family, we worshiped idols, but now we worship God. Thank you for what you did. And that gives us an opportunity to rejoice throughout all eternity. Listen, when we get there, guys, we're not going to be talking about the Texans and the Astros. We're going to be talking about what we did for God and how glad we were to be a part of it, because kingdom purposes are the best purposes. Would you bow your head with me for a second? Heads bowed and eyes closed, and please, no one looking around or moving. We'll be out of here in just a moment. If you came this morning and said, I don't even know if I have a relationship with the Lord, or I'm not confident in my relationship where I stand with the Lord, but I want to be. Or maybe you're here this morning and you say, man, I know I used to walk with God. I've gotten so far away from him, but I want to come back. We're going to say a prayer. I'm not going to ask you to stand up. I'm not going to ask you to come to the front, but we are going to pray. And I'm going to ask you to do one thing. If that's you this morning, you say, Alan, I want to come back to the Lord, or I want to come to him for the very first time. Would you pray for me? I'm going to ask you to do one thing. Simply slip your hand up across this auditorium and say, Alan, that's me. Would you pray for me? Thank you. Appreciate your courage. Thank you. Put those hands. Anybody else? Yeah, I see you. Way in the back. Anybody else? Just say, Alan, that's me. Would you pray for me? Thank you. Wonderful. Anybody else? Great. You can put your hands down. We're going to pray. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. No one's looking around. Maybe you didn't lift your hand you really wanted to, and you thought, I missed my opportunity. No, you didn't. This is a heart prayer. God sees he sees your hand, but he also sees your heart. We're going to pray this with you out loud as a church family. Pray it so you can hear it. We're going to pray it with you together. Say, dear God, I know mankind needs a Savior. I know I can't save myself. Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. And God raised you from the dead. Right now, I confess you as my Lord, as my Savior, as the one who forgives me and restores me. Thank you, Jesus. My past is forgiven. I have a relationship with you. I'm a new creation in Christ because I've said yes to you. Now, with heads still bowed and eyes closed, Heavenly Father, thank you for those that prayed that prayer. Father, for those who have come back to you, for those who have come to you for the very first time and walked out of darkness into your marvelous light, thank you for that. Father, thank you that we have the privilege in this church of proclaiming a saving grace of Jesus Christ to our area and around the world. Thank you for making that real to us over the next few weeks. We give you all the praise for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this message. For more about the Ark, visit thearkchurch.com.